Maybe sometimes you guys miss out on opportunities because you are insecure about something, right? For me, I missed out on many opportunities to lead in not only my youth group, but also to cultivate. I was thinking about this question today, and I was trying to think, okay, what's a time where I passed an opportunity because I was feeling insecure? And I think that I passed up on a lot of opportunities to build great relationships with other guys and to do great things in my youth group and lead in different ways because I covered up my insecurity and who I was with dating relationships with girls. Catch what I'm saying there? Like, I was insecure about who I was, so I tried to cover it up by making it appear that I was happy and in relationships with other girls. And so, have you ever passed up an opportunity because you were afraid or insecure? Yeah. I think many of us have. Going back, not to beat a dead horse, but how many of you guys have seen The Greatest Showman? Okay, right. So when I say the name Letty Lutz, who comes to mind? What is that character? The bearded lady. Okay, so Seth. Here in just a second, you don't have to pull it up yet. I just want to make sure you're trekking with me. Okay, you're still trekking with me back there? Not watching any sports or anything? Okay, good. All right, so too often we let our identity get wrapped up in what other people think about us. We've been talking a lot about the circus and The Greatest Showman, so I think this plays into the conversation I'd like to have today. So Letty Lutz is one of the performers known as the Bearded Lady. P.T. Barnum discovers her incredible singing voice, and because she's just absentmindedly at work one day, and she's singing, and she's talented, but because of her appearance, what happens? She's living in fear. She's insecure. She feels insignificant. She feels like she's being completely ignored, or she is completely ignoring her incredible gift. So while you guys, and I hate using movies to make great correlations to the scriptures that we're going to look at today, I want to help you kind of start to see that while you might not be the bearded lady, I'm guessing that you've struggled with insecurity. Whether it's an insecurity about your body or your family or your abilities or your personality or your social standing, I'm sure that we could all identify with at least one thing that makes us feel insecure. So without saying any, this is a rhetorical question this time, meaning don't answer. But I want you guys to, without saying anything aloud, take a second and name at least one thing or one insecurity that you're currently holding on to. Okay, you got that? Now keep it in mind what we're going to talk about today. So open up your Bibles to Psalm 139. Psalm 139, and we're going to read verses 1 through 16. And if you guys have your Bibles, I'm not asking you guys to stand for the reading of this all, which would still be a good thing, but I'm actually asking for volunteers. I need 16 people to stand up. Just stand up. I'm going to have you read one verse. Okay. Thank you. All right. Just stand on up, and then I'll say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. I still need more people because I'm not a good math guy anymore, but that doesn't look like 16 people. Come on. I need 16 people. Let's do it. All right. Okay. All right. So just read as loudly as you can, please. Psalm 139, and we're going to read the first 16 verses.
O Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know when I sit down and stand up. You know my thoughts and my heart. You sit down and pass in my mind and death, and I appreciate my life.
Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together.
You hem me in behind and before. You lay your hand upon me.
Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain.
Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I choose from your
presence? There is power in your heaven. You will your life. And your
spirit. For the sake of the wind and the wind, you will be the utmost force of the
sea. Even there, to your guiding, with your right hand, you will be the
one. If I say, share with the darkness, shall overcome me in the light of God.
In the light of the darkness, you will be the darkness is not God to you. The light is bright out there. The darkness is not light on you.
For you've worn my neighbor's house, you will be in the sand of my
neighbor.
Thank you guys very much for reading. I really appreciate it. So this semester so far, we've been saying that it is so important for us to hear and to understand what God says about us. But unfortunately, we all know that we let opinions of others begin to define us. But we don't always know how to let God's opinions of us define and shape our identities. But if we're going to let someone tell us who we are, don't you think someone should be God, our creator? I definitely think so. So we just read in Psalm 139 about who our creator thinks you are. King David wrote this psalm, and he's the author of it. So it's a collection here of a poem or a praise, a psalm of David. And so I don't know about you, but reading this passage makes it kind of difficult for me to feel insecure or afraid. Let's look at why. God, the creator of the universe, knows me. He designed me. He knit me together. He's always with you. He knows every single thing about you, and he loves you just the way you are. So why should I or you be worried about my awkwardness? As an adult, I'm awkward sometimes, and that's okay. Why should I be worried about my awkwardness or your shortcomings or your insecurities when the God of the universe has designed you so carefully and so lovingly? Again, I'm not just talking about me. I'm talking, this is true for every single person in here. You are his creation, and God didn't make a single mistake when he created you. Remember, flip over to Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. This is a passage that we've looked at a couple times. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10, okay? Let me read it. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. One thing I love about this passage is that Paul, the author, makes it clear that there is no amount of work or quality of performance that could make God love us any more than he already does. Did you catch that? There's no amount of work or quality of your performance that can make God love you any more than you are. All right? The opposite is true too. Our failure to perform or achieve doesn't make us any less loved by God in his eyes. And that should be a relief, right? Our insecurities often leave us feeling so afraid of losing the love or affection of others, but God reminds us that there is nothing that could make us lose his love or affection, all right? But then Paul goes on to say, verse 10, right? Here, we are God's masterpiece, his handiwork, God created for a purpose, and it's that purpose that I want us to really think about today, because it's true, as God's creation, you have a purpose. So how would you guys describe your purpose? Right? Luke, you were talking about, Kunkel was talking about how to figure out God's everyday will for your life. You know, how do I know God's purpose for my life, right? We're going to talk through some steps, and I might expand upon that depending on our time. We've talked a lot about insecurities that can cause us to live in the shadows, out of the spotlight, away from the eyes of others, so that we can't disappoint anyone, including ourselves. Maybe it's because we feel safe there. But when we live that way, we miss out on the bigger purpose for our life, right? I'm going to skip through some things. Do you guys believe you have a purpose? Or do you guys just think we're kind of walking through this life aimlessly? That's a big philosophical question, isn't it? Okay. But I believe if we flip over to 1 Peter chapter 2, 9 through 12, we're going to get a better picture, a clearer picture about God, what God reveals to us about our purpose, right? I want you to think about if you have a purpose, and if you do not know what that is, just like we've talked about the character, the bearded lady, we've more importantly seen the words of King David and the words of Paul in Ephesians. I think our purpose in determining that, it starts by discovering who God created you to be. The gifts, the talents, the interests, the quirks that he has given you. And then I think it's about taking those gifts and using them to be a part of something bigger than yourself, about doing kingdom work. So 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. What does this verse reveal about your purpose? Verse 9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. What do you guys see here? What does this verse reveal about our purpose? What are some of the many things that these verses reveal about our purpose? Grace. We are certainly here to glorify God. What else do you guys see? What else sticks out to you from those passages? Yes, Heidi. God determines our purpose, right? You are a chosen race, right? A people for his own possession. If you are a follower of Christ, you are a child of God. And that you have a purpose, right? To glorify God, that you may proclaim his excellencies of him who has called you out of the death and the darkness that you once lived and into his marvelous light. That is a great calling. That is a great purpose. God shows us in verse 10, what we were and what we are now. And then Peter goes on to implore them, hey, I urge you, guys, as just exiles or passers through in this world, right? Abstain from the passions of the flesh. What is my purpose? Well, my purpose is not to bring pleasure to myself, right? Elisa said this earlier. We memorized Romans 15, that we are not to please ourselves, but to please our neighbor for his good and to build him up. And then we're keeping our conduct among the Gentiles honorable, right? Why? So they may see your good deeds, man, and that they may glorify God on the day that is coming. God's purpose for you and me is to use our voices to share hope and joy with the world around us. And the good news of Jesus is something we talk about here within these walls. But the purpose of our student ministry is to take this message of Jesus into the world around us, into your schools and workplaces and your colleges someday. This is the great work that we were created for, to find our gifts given to us by God and then use him to share his story. So this week, here's what I want you to know. I want you to believe, and I want you to remember this, that you were created on purpose, for a purpose, by a God who loves you desperately. You have gifts, you have a voice, you have a purpose. And so I implore you, I encourage you guys to go live like people who have been changed by this word. Don't live like you're afraid to share the greatest news this world has ever heard. And so I'm going to break for small groups here in just a second. I want to close in prayer. Hopefully you guys have a great time of small groups, catching up on scripture memory, but also discussing some of these questions. Those of you guys that were at the Rooted Summit, I would encourage you guys to talk a little bit more about that as well, and share, you know, encourage some of your small group mates to think about some of these deeper things. So let me pray before we head off to our groups. Heavenly Father, I do thank you for the opportunity to teach. Lord, as we see in Isaiah 54, I pray that your word will accomplish exactly what you intended it to do tonight. And Lord, it'll bring forth and sprout in these hearts of these students, and that it'll provide new life to them as they see their need for a Savior and place their trust in the one true and living God. Lord, we thank you for your gospel that changes all hearts. So Lord, we ask you to continue to work in our small groups tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.